Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Truly, Lord, we stand in awe of you. Be pleased with our worship, O God. It's unto you and you alone. We have come from far and near on this mountain for an audience of one. It's all about you, Lord. It's all for you. Be glorified, O King of Glory. Be glorified. Alleluia. Alleluia. Let heaven hear just the voices. Alleluia.
Jesus is Lord.
Yes, you are the Lord Most High. 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 The Lord Most High. Yes, you are the Lord Most High. Ah. Yes, you are the
Lord Most High. Yes, you are the Lord Most High. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you because there's no dry eye here. I worship you, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We did not pay for it because you love us so much. You don't even know how to keep yourself away from us. And that's why you say you never leave us or forsake us. Today is the proof. We thank you, Papa. In Jesus' name. Father, we pray that the word you want us to share this morning, we reach out to everyone according to your will for each person. Let every soul here hear your voice, including me. And may it bring a change in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we clap for Jesus, please? To be honest, I didn't feel like coming up to share the word. I wished we could have continued. You know, it was like when the apostles said, why don't we stay here and build a house for Moses, for Elijah, and for you? Such experience will be so magnetic. It makes you feel like Where else can I go? As I sat out there, I said, why can't we just continue like this? And the Lord ministered to me, that was what I asked you. Because there was a time he laid in my heart. He said I was going to build him a worship center that would be open 24/7 for his worship. And then he reiterated it in my heart. I want to thank Sister Jewel and United in Praise and Worship for bringing us together. And for everyone here, for leaving all, forsaking all. God in heaven, the rewarder of good works, will never let you go hungry. Whatever you came here for and with, the Lord will address. But you've got to believe. You've got to believe. Because he can do nothing without us believing. You know, when I lost my elder sister, I prayed that God would raise her up. And prayed. And at a time, my pastor said, have you prayed according to his will? I went and said, according to your will. And God started asking me questions. And that was when God made me to understand that our will is more important than anything. God cannot overrule your will, except if there's something very important that he wants you to do. So we should always try to align our will to the will of God. Now let me go to the message for today. The message is your body as the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body, my body, our bodies. And I want to tell you something. This is a disclaimer before I start, okay? It's just a new message the Lord laid on my hand. So as I'm sharing it with you, I'm like a child who just got something new and begin to share and say, hey, can you see? When we leave here this morning, I'm begin to do what I am saying. And I encourage you to do the same. So that when we come back, for those who have the grace to come back next year, will not be the same. We'll be superpowers. Praise the Lord. Our tests are taken from two places. I like reading them together. First is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we are taking it from verses 16 to 18. I'll proceed if you find it. And what union can there be between God's temples and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I'll welcome you. I'll be your father, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the word, Almighty. That is he who can do everything. Now, the second one is 1 Corinthians, the same chapter 6. And this one I'm taking it from verses 19 and 20. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. We've heard this several times. For us to appreciate this the way the Lord laid it in my heart, I want to take us back to Genesis, the creation of time. When God made Adam and Eve, you know, when God created man, he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And then he breathed into man, and man became a living soul. And you know what? God gave him dominion over everything. And not just giving him dominion, God made him a co-creator. Because when he made all the animals, the fish, and all that they passed through, and Adam gave them names. And any name Adam gave them became their names. Don't mind that when I speak my native language, and somebody from a Bengali speaks his native language, the animal might have a different name. But when you look deep down, it's the same name. So God made him a co-creator. God gave him dominion over everything. And God communed with him. But he gave him only one law. Only one. Do not eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And he failed. The moment he ate that, the glory of God departed. Then he became naked. He became open to elements. And then he came to realize his right to choose what was good and bad. And that was why God said you should not eat it, because he will open his eyes to make decisions for himself. And that began to happen. He became aware that he could make a decision for himself. He no longer leaned on God. And you know, you can't have two active captains in a ship. So God had to take them out of their paradise. Look at us. You were parents. If your child wakes up and says, "Look, Mama, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do my thing the way I want it. It's my way." And then your child starts acting up, doing whatever. You know, you can't take that. He said, not when you're under my roof and under my care. And most times you flush your child out of your house or your child goes on his own. But mother's love and father's love, parental love, you go looking for that child. Doesn't it happen with you? Joey, where are you? I thought you said you don't want to see me. I said, I know, but I just want to know how you are. And that was what God did. After he chased them away, he went looking for them. And then he saw Cain and saw his heart that he was planning to kill his own younger brother. And God says, Cain, if you had done well, would you not have been accepted? Sin desires you. Take control over it. But Cain could not, because he was murderer. He yielded to sin and killed his brother. And then God continued to walk among men. And he saw their evil. He said, man is so evil. My spirit cannot dwell forever with man. And what did he do? He said, my spirit can come and go. He decided on Elijah. And he performed miracles. He decided on Samson. He killed a lion with their bare hands. He decided on Elisha. He prophesied. So the Spirit of God was coming and going, waiting for a time. And God couldn't take it. He said, build me a temple in Exodus. It's in the Bible. Build me a sanctuary that I can dwell with them. Because he couldn't keep away from his own children. But he was waiting for the appointed time, and that was when Christ came and died for our sins so that we'll be reconnected back to the creation of time. Christ died so that we can come back to God and take back the dominion which he gave to Adam and Eve. But the people didn't understand it. And God, Jesus, when he was about leaving the earth, he began to teach the apostles and disciples about the new life. Because then Christ was on earth. He had not died. We had not been reconnected. But he knew that when he died, that we'll be going to reconnected. But he will not be here to teach them. So he kept telling them, this is it, this is it. Can we go to John 14, please? John 14. I'm sorry. John 14, I want us to look at verse 23. That was when he was planning to go. He started teaching them about the new life. He knew they didn't really get it, but he knew they would remember. You understand? It's like when your child is going to school. You keep telling your child, oh, Joey, when you get to school, do this, do that, do that, do that. Your child is not going to do it with you here. It's when the child goes to school, and you hope the child will remember. So John 14 and verse 23, and I'm cutting it because of time, otherwise we would have started ahead. Jesus replied, oh, who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. When you obey him, he, Jesus the Son, God the Father, both of them will come and dwell I didn't say it. It's in the Bible. We'll come and make our home with which of them? If I make my home in your house, I live in your house, is it not? So for them to make their home in you means they're going to live in you. But then we have just the God the Father and God the Son. How about the Holy Spirit? Is he not coming into us? Let's go to the same John, just step up a little bit to verse 15. And I'll read 15 to 17. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and will later be in you. Two times. With you now and later in you. Anywhere Christ was, the Holy Spirit was. So because Christ was with them, the Holy Spirit was with them, but not in them. And he says it's going to be in you. So, when Christ died, we want to find out whether the Holy Spirit really came and be in them. Let's go to Acts of the Apostles, please. I'd want us to take Acts of Apostles chapter 1. And I'm taking 4. And 5. Once he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That was still the promise. And now let's go over to John chapter 2. And we take it from, I'll just go straight, okay, on first 1 to 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them his ability. Praise the Lord. So we now know that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit came and dwell in them. And every believer has the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in them. And that is why you say your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Because he lives in you. And that's why the Bible says one with God is majority. Why? Because where you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, you have angels around. Because you know what? Anywhere the Father is, the angels congregate. Innumerable numbers of angels. And you know what? I'm not seeing them. I haven't seen angels, but some people have seen angels. But they are here today because we are here. And anywhere you go, the angels go. And that's why God says, I'll give them charge over you. Because they must be with you. And they are ministering angels to keep them busy. So they can do the work of protecting the vessel of God. The house of God. Which is you. The question is, where will God want to be in you? Because as a father, he misses communion with you. If you have, we had children who went away to schools. Some parents cried. And I remember some people told me they would go to their rooms and some even smell their children's clothes and say, I miss my baby. God missed that communion he had with Adam and Eve. And he wanted it back. And now he's happy because he's in you. So it's a continuous process. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So he's constantly in you, renewing that relationship. But you must do two things to have it. One, Jesus said, when you keep my commandment, and what commandment? He simplified it to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, And then love your fellow human being as yourself. First, you've got to love yourself. But even if you don't love yourself, honey, love them the way God says you should love yourself. Maybe you'll catch up later loving yourself. You know? So because of that, when you do that, he comes in. Then another thing again to keep him is that he says, I'm a holy God. My eyes cannot behold iniquity. And to tell you how much he cannot behold iniquity, he told the Israelites, build your camp and outside of the camp, that is where you go to release whatever you have, the people who are sick with leprosy and all that. He cannot behold iniquity. Tell me how a holy God can live in an iniquitous body. Your body has to be constantly clean for him to live in. And that is why he gave you that Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will give you